Good morning, everybody. Anybody ready for the Super Bowl tonight? Yeah. Anybody excited the Patriots aren't playing? Wow. I knew I was in the right church. Hey, I shared a quote last week from one of my favorite coaches of all time, Tom Landry. And I want to show it to you again because I think this sets the tone for what I want to share with you today. First of all, he said a coach is somebody who tells you what you don't want to hear, who has you see what you don't want to see, so you can have all, so you could be what you've always known you could be. Simpler, coaching is making men do what they don't want so they can become who they want to be. So, can I be your coach? Can I be your coach this morning? Can I be Tom Landry? I didn't bring my fedora. Can I encourage you, challenge you, provoke you to be, to do stuff you don't want to do, to stretch yourself, to do something unusual so that we can be all God wants us to be, so that we can experience true victory in 2020. And I mean this when I say this. Would you allow me to lead you as a church into a year of victory? Would you go with me? Would you join us as we go forward into a year unlike any other? A year of the demonstration of God's power. A year of powerful anointing. A year where prodigals wake up and come to themselves and realize it was better for me at my father's house. A year where relationships are reconciled and marriages are healed and people are delivered and set free and lives are changed and miracles take place. And I'm talking full-fledged miraculous healings taking place in the body of Christ. That's the year that I believe God wants all of us to experience. But how many know victory never comes without a fight? Victory always comes with a fight. And the reason we need victory is because there is a war going on for you and for me. The enemy has come and he wants our kids. He has come to destroy them. He has come for our marriages and he wants to destroy your marriage. He has come for our homes. He has come for this church. And he has asked the Lord to afflict us, to accuse us, and to harm us. I believe the enemy has come for this country, and he is trying to destroy us from the inside out. But we know what the Word of God says. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is going to be a great year. And so I'm asking everybody to do something that is highly unusual. We just completed 21 days of prayer and fasting. We just concluded that last Sunday. But I believe God is not done yet. And so I'm asking you to give 3 days a month to prayer and fasting for the rest of the year. You say, Pastor, that is a lot to ask. And I absolutely know that. But there is this strong sense in my spirit that this is a very important year. That this is a watershed moment for many of us. For many of us individually, for us as a church, and I believe for us as a country. That we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to do something different because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting something different to happen. We've got to do something different. We've got to raise our game, so to speak. We need the Lord. We need God's help. A few days ago, I was in my office and I was just praying. I was praying over the church. I was praying over our staff. I was praying over today, and there just came upon me this strong, strong sense how desperately we need God, how desperately we need him to move, how desperately we need him to intervene in our lives And in this church and in our country, there was just this overwhelming, almost desperation in my spirit. God, if you don't come, well, I don't know what's going to happen. God, if you don't show up, people's lives are going to be lost, and the enemy's going to win, and there's going to be all this destruction and all this pain. And so there was just this overwhelming sense in my spirit. We need God to show up. We need God to intervene. We need God to draw our family members to Jesus. We need God to do miracles. Somebody say amen. And I think my message is super simple this morning. We need God. We absolutely need Him. And here's the deal. Pastor, if we need God, then why are we fasting? Listen, fasting's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. But fasting has this incredible way of just drawing us closer to Jesus. And the Bible says if we'll draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us. And how many know if He draws close to us and He shows up, He is a God of victory. And the Bible says He came to destroy the works of the devil. So if we'll draw close to Him, and again, this is a very strong step toward the Lord. If we'll draw close to Him, the Bible says He'll draw close to us. And if He draws close to us, how many know anything can happen? He's a God of victory. He's going to bring His victory with Him. He's going to bring His angels with Him. Amen, somebody? God's going to do it here. And so I just want to encourage you, if you sense what I'm sensing, if there's this sick of being sick, tired of being tired, not going to accept the way things are, my life is going this way, I need it to change direction, my family's going this way, I need it to change direction, our country's going this way, it's got to change direction, or else we need the Lord. So I'm asking you to join me. Our first 3 days for February starts tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the dates of the times for us fasting and praying are in your message notes here, and I'd like to ask you to put them on your calendar and just make it a priority. And I want to encourage you, what we're going to do is we're going to fast for 3 days, and that every month we will break the fast with our first Wednesday service. So this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our first Wednesday service, worship, prayer. And God's given me a message to share that I'm very excited about. Matter of fact, I was so excited about it, I thought about preaching it this morning. I'm like, God, why would I wait for Wednesday to say that? Because that's really good. He's like, well, what is that? Well, join us on Wednesday, all right? And then after first Wednesday service, we'll break the fast together. Are you with me today? And I just want to encourage you, you know, you can participate in the fast in a lot of different ways. I've given you information in your message notes. If you can do a full fast, do a full fast. If you want to do a Jewish fast, sun up to sundown, do that. If you want to do a partial fast or a Daniel fast, let me just encourage you to do a food fast of some kind if you are physically able to do it, okay? Fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. It's not Lent. We're not giving up things for Lent. What we are doing is we are intentionally making ourselves physically hungry so that our spirit man will get hungrier. Amen. Are you with me today? And so let me encourage you to do that. And we've got some fasting resources in the hub after the service. We've got a little book called The Miracles of Fasting by Pastor Dave Williams. I highly encourage you to check it out. Our website, graceassembly.org/21days, has lots of resources about fasting and prayer. And so I just want to encourage you to join with us because God is already doing something. Matter of fact, during our 21 days of fasting and prayer, I posted on Facebook earlier this week. I said, hey, what has God done in your life to bring you victory so far this year? And I got 27 testimonies. One said, my husband got a new job, and one of our kids who had been struggling with apathy seems to be walking with more purpose and joy, and I'm making significant progress in freedom from rejection and fear of man. Another one said, I got a new job, and I have healthier relationships. Somebody else said, I have new eating habits, and my pain is totally under control without medication. Robin shared that during the fast that God helped her grieve her parents' death. And she said, He set me free from heartache, from loneliness, and grief. She said, I literally feel Him holding me every moment. Tom shared, I was able to forgive my stepfather. Another one said, I don't struggle with insecurities anymore or shame or low self-worth. I'm completely free of labels and lies. I'm secure in my Father and how He sees me and how He made me. I actually like me. My focus is on my relationship with my Father, drawing near to Him, and through that, He has shown me true love, and that's all I need. I am enough because He is enough. Somebody else posted, all my cancer tests came back cancer-free. I wish I was in the right church today. Somebody had tests for cancer, and then I came back clean. I've been praying to bring more family and friends to church with me, and in the last few weeks, I brought 15 new people to church with me. People I've never had a conversation with about church or Jesus have been asking me about our church and are full of questions. Somebody give God praise for answers to prayer, moving in the Spirit. This past week in our staff chapel, three different people shared testimonies. Two were miracles of physical healing, and one was just this emotional healing that God gave to them in one of our prayer services. You know, here's what I'm trying to tell you. That would be great for 21 days, but can I tell you that God is just getting started? Somebody's got to receive this today. God is just getting started in 2020. This is just the tip of the iceberg of the things that God wants to do in you and in me, in our families, in our lives, in our church, and in our country. Amen, somebody? So please join us and do what you don't want to do. This is Coach Wayne. Please do what you don't want to do so we can get where we want to get. So we can see what we want to see. So we can experience what we want to experience. Is that right, everybody? Why? Because we need the Lord. All right? Let me just encourage you that during these 3 days, join us Tuesday morning for prayer. If at all possible, it would be awesome for you to join us right here in the worship center. If you can't, let me encourage you. I've included a prayer model in your message notes. And I believe this is the prayer that I want us to focus on. And it's really about restoring our first love, about falling in love with Jesus again. It's about personal revival. And would you, during the next 3 days, would you pray through that prayer model? And a prayer model is simply using Scripture to help us to pray. Are you with me today? And so that's our heart. That's God's heart. And so let me encourage everybody to participate in some way. Because we need God. And we need each other. We need each other. So today is Super Bowl Sunday. Anybody happen to bring a football to church? You brought one? Oh, you brought one? Right here, baby. Ooh, the lefty. Nice arm. Really good. All right, lefty from Alabama. May it be so for the Colts. Somebody? Can I get a witness? Oh, yeah, prophesy right there. All right, so tonight there's going to be two teams. I think there's 54 players on each roster. They're going to be going at it to win the Super Bowl championship, right? Now, there's probably some argument about who is the best player on the field tonight, but let's just go with Patrick Mahomes. You know, he was the MVP last year of the league. He's pretty good. He's kind of ridiculously good. You know, and just for the sake of this illustration, let's say some of you might argue somebody else, and that's okay. But let's just say Mahomes is the best player on the field tonight. What if tonight, as the introductions begin for the teams, and they say, and here, representing the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. And he runs out of the tunnel all by himself. You know, carrying the football. There's no offensive line. There's no wide receivers. There's no defense. There's no coaches. There's no personnel. There's nobody. And so it's just him. And so he is a man by himself. He is a team by himself. So when he's on offense, he's got nobody to block for him. He's got nobody to hand the ball off to. He's got no receiver to throw it to. It's just him. How's that going to work out for him? When it comes to defense, you know, here come the 49ers on the field, right? One of the best offenses, one of the best running teams. their massive offensive line, their quarterback, all of their people, and it's only Patrick on defense because he's got to play both ways because he's the only guy, right? So he's got to try to rush the quarterback. He's got to try to tackle the running back, keep the wide receiver from catching the pass. How many know it is not going to work out for Patrick Mahomes, right? It's just not going to work out. It's not going to work out too well because there's no way he's going to be able to stop the other team from scoring at will. Now, let me ask a ridiculous question. Would he win the game? No. Not only would he lose, he would lose spectacularly. It would be ridiculous. You say, Pastor, that sounds ridiculous to us. But why do we do our spiritual lives that way? Why do we live our walk with Jesus that way? Somehow we think we can win spiritual battles on our own. I don't need anybody. I got this. Could I tell you that God has given you and I a great team of people to be part of? The church of Jesus Christ, the family of God. Our team, he's given us a team, and yet somehow we still try to win on our own. Now, the problem is our adversary is very, very good. He is very, very strong, and he has lots of help. He has lots of support when it comes to advancing his schemes and his power. So I'm going to tell you today, if we're going to have victory in our lives, we're going to have to help each other. We're going to have to start acting like a team instead of saying, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm preaching better than your amen. God has designed us to depend on one another, to lean on one another, right? To support one another. By the way, did you know that there are over 57, stay there, ball, stay there. Did you know that there are 57 one another commandments in the New Testament? Pray for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. 57 times we are commanded in the New Testament something that we are commanded to do for one another. And by the way, 40 of those are directly connected to a local church. So 40 of those one another's you can't obey unless you're part of a church family. Are you with me so far here today? You see, the Bible has a lot to say about how important it is for us to stick together, to serve together, to pray together. Watch this. I'm just going to share with you what the scripture says. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back to conquer. Now, let's just stop right here for a second. A person standing alone, what's going to happen to them? You're going to be attacked, and you will be defeated. I mean, no, that's a warning to all of us. If we try to do this on ourselves, we're going to be attacked and defeated. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Bigger the team, the better your chance, right? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. One who has isolated himself seeks his own desires. He rejects all sound judgment. If this were a modern paraphrase, one who has isolated himself is dumb. Can I use a little stronger word? One who has isolated himself, stupid, right? The Bible says it's dumb to isolate yourself spiritually. It's not going to work out well for you. Genesis chapter 2, the Lord said, it is not good for you to be alone. And then Ecclesiastes 4, two are better off than one because they can help each other succeed. I think that's a word we can put victory, right? They can help each other have victory. If we help one another, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Are you getting this yet? Philippians chapter 2, this is the New Testament. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Don't focus on yourself, Paul says, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. And God says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Translation, don't just come to church looking out for you. Don't just walk with Jesus focused on you. If you're going to be like Jesus, you got to look out for other people too. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been serving Jesus for 20 years, for 25 years, and you're coming to church. Pastor, what you got for me this week? You know what I got for you this week? I got an assignment for you. I got a job for you. I got a ministry for you. I got a new believer that needs a shepherd. I got somebody who's broken, who needs somebody to put their arm. That's what I got for you here today. Are you feeling it yet? You know where we're going? Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. There's a warning 2,000 years ago in the Bible that the closer and closer we get to the return of Jesus, and how many know that might be the ultimate victory in 2020? Right? He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, not a defeated church. He's coming back for a victorious church. Amen, somebody? And so the Bible says all the more as we get close to that, we should be sticking together. We should be encouraging one another. We should be praying for one another. We should be watching out for one another. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. We go to God for salvation, but we need each other for healing. God's plan is and has always been for us to walk together, for us to have victory together, for us to serve God together, for us to follow Him together. The problem is we live in a culture that completely rejects that. Matter of fact, as Americans, we celebrate rugged individualism. It's part of our history, you know, individualism. So I'm not talking about the value of the individual. I'm talking about the need that we have for one another. Are you with me today? And the reality is, this has been God's plan from the very beginning. Right out of the gate, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46, the beginning of the church, the Bible says they worshiped alone. They stayed home and watched it on live stream. If you're watching on live stream and you're not sick and not traveling, you should be in this room. Good preaching, amen, Pastor. They worship. Do you have a hard time saying that word? They worship together regularly, consistently at church, at the temple each day. That's pretty regular, amen? And they met in small groups. We're about to have a groups fair after this service. And you're going to have the opportunity to go connect to be part of a group. Say, why would I do that? Because that's what they did. And if they did it, we need to do it. They met in small groups in homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy. Right? So God's plan all along from the very beginning, the Spirit-filled church, the powerful church, the church that turned the world upside down, they leaned on each other. They encouraged one another. They prayed for one another. They met together consistently. They worshiped together in the church, and they met together in homes. Why? Because that's God's plan. Amen. That's been God's plan all along. That's what He wants for all of us. God has designed the church to be a family where spiritual fathers and mothers are raised up to help mature and grow young believers. Romans 15, we who are strong... If you've been in the church for any length of time, you're strong. You've been serving Jesus for more than a few years. This verse is talking about you. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, the new ones, the people who are learning, the baby Christians who are learning to take their first steps. We need some stronger Christians to come alongside some weaker ones, some younger ones, and not to please ourselves. This is a word to the American church. This is a word to the American church, because we come to church all about me. What about me? What about my family? What about my kids? And God says, you don't just come for you. It's okay for you to get something out of it. We sure hope you do. And we know that your kids are going to be blessed, because we got one of the best of the best when it comes to kids ministry. But you should not be coming to church. If you've been coming to church for a while focused on you, you should be coming looking to help somebody else if you're stronger. Coach Wayne, Tom Landry. I'm not sure if Tom Landry talked to his team the way I thought. I bet he did. I bet it was worse. Galatians 6, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Did you know we are the first generation to embrace Christianity individually? I'm going to say that again. We are the first generation to embrace Christianity individually. Christianity is not a solo sport. It's a team sport. In addition to being opposite the biblical example, it's part of the problem we're experiencing in Christianity in our culture right now. Because what we've created in this community and in this culture is we are now consumers of religious goods and services versus disciples of Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? We've become consumers of religious goods and services rather than be disciples of Jesus Christ, because you cannot be a disciple by yourself. But you can just come and sit and soak and receive until somebody else does it better. Then you're going to go sit and soak and receive over there. And then you're just going to keep doing this tumbleweed thing. You know what? You're not going to grow. You're going to be frustrated. You're not going to fulfill God's purpose in your life. I'm preaching better than your amen in today. Amen. This is the huddle room, all right? In the 9 o'clock service, this is probably the quarterback's room. I'm just saying. Because y'all have so much leadership in you, all right? And so I just want to encourage you. That's the problem with our culture. And really, it's the problem in our community. That's why there's so much church hopping going around. We have lots of great churches in our community. Lots of them. If I wasn't the pastor of this one and I had to go somewhere else, I'm like, there's a lot of options. But whatever it is, stick with it. Plant yourself there, right? Get involved there. Serve other people there, because that's always been God's plan. That has always been God's plan. Matter of fact, this is why we continue to challenge people to do three things. We say, come to church on Sunday mornings, do it consistently, get in a group, and serve on a team. Three things. Why do I need to come to church on Sunday morning consistently? Because guess what? I need that. I leak, right? I need the encouragement of fellow believers. Remember the Hebrew scripture, let us encourage one another, right? And all the more as we see the day approaching. But I also need an opportunity to develop my gifts so that I can serve other people. And I need to get in a group, right? Because not only do I need people, but people need me. And then I need to serve on a team. Because God's given me gifts, he's given me passions, he's given me skills, he's given me abilities, and he didn't give those things for me. He gave those things to me for you, for somebody else, for somebody who has a need. Amen. Now, why do I keep repeating this? Because Tom Rainer came up with this survey, and over a period of years, and they found out if you go to a local church and you attend groups, you are 5 times more likely to stay connected to the church than those who only attend a worship service. Now, let me break that down a little bit. Basically, they did a study over a period of about 10 years, and they found out the people who just go to church on Sunday morning, within 5 years, 80% of you are gone. But if you actually take the next step, get involved in a group, or serve on a team, you're 5 times more likely to be here 5 years from now. Are you getting this? It's good for you. It'll make you better. Now, what we're going to do in just a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to connect to a group and find a group to be part of. And let me just encourage you, that very first group meeting typically it's a little awkward. Tracy and I had our first Freedom Group meeting on Monday night. We had 23 people in our group. Those first few minutes, you know, I'm basically playing Connect Four. You know, hey, do you know you? Do you know you? Do you know you? No. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That first small group meeting, you're like, what? But can I tell you, 90 minutes later, everybody's talking. And there was that very, why? I just got to take the first step. Are you with me? And I'm building relationship. And now I'm praying for those people. Now those people are praying for me. How many know that's what God wants in our heart? It's good for you. And this is my favorite my favorite research piece of all time. This is from Harvard. This is not even a Christian, all right? He says it's better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone. That's good preaching right there, right? All of this research. Basically, the research says if you have healthy relationships, you're connected to other people, you're going to live longer. It's going to physically benefit you, not just spiritually and emotionally in every way. Let me put it to you this way. No one succeeds alone. You won't have victory in 2020 by yourself. If we want to have victory, we've got to do this together. That's why I'm challenging you to fast and pray together. It can't just be me. It can't just be the staff. We'll have victory, but you won't. I want everybody to reap the blessings and the benefits of us as a corporate body of believers saying together, Jesus, we're going to raise it. We're going to raise our commitment. We're going to draw close to you stronger, harder than we've ever done it before. And you know what's going to happen? That victory is just going to multiply into this body. It's going to multiply into every family in this church. It's going to multiply into every household, every relationship, every marriage, every business. If we will. So I'm going to challenge you today to do two things. Number one, join us for the next 3 days. Let's fast and pray. Let's seek the Lord, all right? Let's do it together, because if we do, God will do great things. And then, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to dismiss here in just a minute, and we're going to go out to the hub, and I'm going to intentionally dismiss a little early so that we'll have time to go talk to them and connect. You've got in your worship guide, there is a list of groups that we're offering. The freedom groups are not listed because those have already began. I think there are 24 of those groups that already started last week. And so praise God for that. So these are the groups that are beginning in the next week, okay? And so to give you a little bit of a preview, we've got Josh out in the hub, and he's going to give us a little bit of a preview of the group's fair that we're going to go to here in just a minute. So you guys let me know when he's ready. Is he ready? Thumbs up. Here we go.
Hey, Pastor Wayne, thank you so much. And hello, Grace family. My name is Josh Henry, and I'm currently live out here in the hub. And as you can see around me today, we are having our groups fair. Now, this is awesome because it gives all the groups categorized out here in the hub that Grace offers to you. This is going to give you the great opportunity to come out here and explore all the groups that we have, introduce yourself to the group leaders, ask them any questions that you might have about the group itself or maybe the material that they're going to be learning in that group, and also give you the opportunity to sign up right here today. This is going to be an awesome time for you to be able to start new friendships into a very strong and powerful spiritual community that we have here at Grace. Now, for some reason, if you can't come out here right after the worship center into the hub to explore these groups, don't worry, we've got you covered. Whip out that mobile device, and you're going to text the word GROUPS to 317-653-6793. Again, that's the word GROUPS to 317-653-6793 to start your online registration today. So come right out here after we get done with Pastor Wayne giving the blessing and explore the groups that we have here for you today. This has been Josh Henry live in the Grace Hub. Back to you, Pastor Wayne.
Give it up for Josh. Amen. All right. Apparently John Madden wasn't available today. Why don't you stand to your feet? Anybody could use some victory in 2020? Anybody would like to see some victory at your house in 2020? Victory in your mind? Victory in your business? Victory in your finances? Victory in your heart. Anybody? Raise your hand. This is the altar call today. Jesus, we want to see victory. Come on, would you pray? Jesus, we're believing for victory in 2020. We're believing, God, for something different, something better. We're believing for miracles. We're believing for healing. We're believing, God, for doors to be kicked wide open. We're believing, Lord, for the enemy's strategies to be destroyed. We're believing for prodigals to come back home this year, God. Do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, we commit to you that we're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. We can't win by ourselves. With you, your church, we believe, God, and we thank you for the victory that you give. And everybody said amen.